from the left coast. Brad Friedman here on the Mike Malloy. See, already started out, not 10 seconds. On the Mike Malloy program, sitting in for Mike, coast to coast and around the globe, broadcasting once again tonight from beautiful downtown Burbank. We are glad you can join us, Truth Seekers. Yes, it is I, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, your friendly citizen, investigative journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, drafted into duty to be the broadcast media once again because it's spring break and Mike and Kathy are off having a good time, I guess, somewhere. I don't know, but here I am with you tonight all night long for the next 3 hours. I hope you'll stick with us. We got a big show ahead. I will be with you also tomorrow night, and the Malloys will be returning Monday. Never fear. You can play along with every beat if you stop over at bradblog.com, where we have a chat room open. Go to the top item, hit comments, and then you'll see the chat room there. I think Dez is in there manning the board, as is Jeannie Dean. You can also Twitter us all night long. We'll try to keep an eye on the feed. We are The Brad Blog. Twitter us over there if you have any questions or comments throughout the night. And, yeah, you ought to just be following The Brad Blog anyway over on Twitter. You can call us tonight. Don't use the Malloy's number. Use ours. It's 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. We're broadcasting, as I say, from beautiful downtown Burbank in the K-Talk studios. Stephanie Miller studio, but don't tell her I was here using it. And what else do we need to know? Okay, coming up tonight, as I said, a big show. Marcy Wheeler of Empty Wheel is going to be joining us to talk about what else. Oh, accountability. Oh, the DOJ. Oh, the Obama administration failing to do much about either of them. And about you. That's you, Y-O-O. And if you don't know what that means, then you haven't been paying attention, but you have come to the right place. We'll try to catch you up as the night goes forward. Also joining us in just a bit here, Kate Shepard, energy and environmental reporter from Mother Jones Washington Bureau. Very excited to talk to her. We're a big fan of hers. I don't know if some of you folks listening out there on affiliates may be familiar with the Green News Report that my co-host Desi Doyen and I do a couple times a week. We steal liberally from Kate Shepard's work, and, well, now she's going to show up and hold us accountable for it. But we are going to talk about the Massey Mine coal disaster, most notably this Don Blankenship CEO, this guy. What a horrible... what he has done, what these 3,000 violations, safety violations since 1995 in Massey Energy's mines. This is the same guy who is out there spending millions fighting against climate change legislation, telling you that, oh, global warming, it's just a hoax. It's just scientists living the large life, getting the big bucks. Scientists are out there making the big money. Are you kidding? Really? Yeah, well, that's what they've got a lot of you folks convinced of, and a lot of progressive folks, by the way. So, I'll want to talk to you about that. We get comments over at Brad Blog all the time that, this is just a scam. It's another. There's no global warming. It's a hoax. It's a pyramid scheme. Another heat wave on the East Coast, interestingly enough, as we talked about in today's Green News Report, by the way. In the same place, in the Northwest, the same place that they were yelling and screaming just a month or two ago, look, it's snowing. Clearly there's no global warming. It's snowing out in D.C. It's a blizzard. That kills that theory. Well, no, it didn't kill that theory. Weather is not the same as climate. Point A, point B, guess what? It's April, and it's 80 degrees out there. They're having a heat wave. And, gosh, those same people who were saying that blizzard proved there was no global warming, they're quiet now, aren't they? For some reason, you don't hear from them. Record heat in April. Well, anyway, we're going to talk with Kate Shepard about that, about the future of climate change legislation, cap and trade legislation, if there is a future for it in our Congress, in the Senate. What a mess. You thought healthcare, the healthcare fight, was a nightmare? Pardon the pun here, but that was a tea party compared to the fight on climate legislation, if that ever gets as far as healthcare did, or health insurance reform. Oh, brother, you ain't seen nothing yet. So we're going to talk about all of that with Kate Shepard about Don Blankenship and that coal mine disaster and what the hell Obama was thinking with his offshore drilling. All of that straight ahead, plus your calls, maybe an Ask Brad segment where you get to ask anything you want and I answer it or I don't. We'll see if you behave yourself. What other business? Okay, well, I'm listening to, I'm sure you've heard the news by now, this guy who was arrested threatening Nancy Pelosi and had called her at her home in D.C., out in California, had threatened her time and time again. His mother has now come out and said, well, she blames Fox News, that, you know, he was kind of crazy and following Fox News, and they were working him up. Really? Do you think? Could that have happened? Of course it happened. Of course. Now, I know that all of the other shows today, probably all the progressive shows, Randy and Tom and on, they probably, and Ed, they've probably been talking about this. They've probably been talking about this crazy guy. They're always talking about these crazy guys, these crazy right-wingers. These they're racists, and they're all stirred. Well, yeah, of course they are. But that's not the real problem, is it? The real problem is not that these people, you know, are worked up into a lather. The problem is, how did they get that way? Who did it? How did they become so crazed, so disinformed? Well, of course, that would be the media, the mainstream media, your public airwaves, where Rush Limbaugh today had this to say about the crazy, they're crazy out there in D.C. Tony, you got that queued up for us?
Folks, we're dealing here with the politically insane, both with their policies and with their campaign tactics. The U.S. Congress may as well have been converted into an insane asylum.
Yeah.
Because the people running the show in there are as off base, out of kilter,
yeah,
and unstable as any time in my life.
Now, that was just this morning. Now, of course, with these unstable, insane, crazy people in Congress, of course, you, as a great American, you would be, well, it's your duty to do something about it, isn't it? They're crazy. They're insane. They're unstable. They're taking the country down. And mind you, Rush is not the fringe anymore. This is about the mainstreaming of the radicals. Rush is on some 600 stations a day. 15 million people, he likes to say, each day. And, of course, Rush is just at the top of the pyramid that includes Glenn Beck, Dennis Miller, Sean Hannity, Michael Savage, on and on and on. Laura Ingraham. I could list, you know, all day I could list. Now, of course, I could list the progressive talkers. Oh, in about 30 seconds. There's Stephanie Miller, there's Randy Rhodes, there's Ed Schultz, Tom Hartman, no, that's about it. Mike Malloy, that's it. And good luck finding them. Good luck. Meantime, mainstream America is hearing this crap from these people over the airwaves that we subsidize, that we own. And what are the Democrats doing about it? Absolutely nothing. They are running. They are turning tail. They are frightened. They are scared to death of guys like Rush Limbaugh. You'll be lucky if the Democrats are able to do anything about the net neutrality problem, those concerns. That's the low-hanging fruit. The real stuff, the fairness doctrine, the Telecommunications Act, where these huge corporations got to buy up all the airwaves and do any damn thing they wanted with them, no longer having to serve in the public interest. That's the real problem. And because Democrats are cowards, frankly, they've turned tail from that fight. But you're not gonna, are you? Are you? Because that's the fight. That's the fight, restoring the airwaves, restoring the media in this country, holding the media accountable, holding the Democrats accountable for not doing something about the media. The tough fight, not the easy one. That's the one we're on about. And we're going to be talking about that tonight and tomorrow and every damn time somebody is silly enough to put a microphone in front of my face and let me talk about it. More Rush Limbaugh coming up after this break. Let's take a break here. Hopefully we'll have time to come back and tell you just how and what the hell he's doing. Just to underscore once again how crazy it is that Democrats, that the media, the non-crazy media, is allowing this to happen, and then they're wondering what's going on with our country. It's right in front of your face, people. Pay attention. Take action. Stop being cowards. I'm Brad, in for Malloy. Much more right after this. All right, 22 minutes after the hour, Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy on the Mike Malloy Show. That's right, you can keep it rolling there, brother. Kate Shepard from Mother Jones is going to be coming up with us at the bottom of the hour. Marcy Wheeler is going to be joining us thereafter. Follow us at bradblog.com or actually go over there and chat or stop by the Twitter joint and send us a note at the Brad Blog. Small correction. Apparently, I said it was been in the 80s in D.C. and New York City and Boston. Been in the 90s in April in New York City and D.C. and Boston. Where are the global warming denialists now? Why aren't they talking about it? All right, I don't want to get off track. We're going to talk about that with Kate Shepard. What we're talking about is this guy who was arrested for making threats against Nancy Pelosi. And the point that I was making before we went to the break is that, of course, we know there's crazy people out there. And, of course, we know by now that the crazy people like Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck and Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity are going to be fomenting them. The real disappointment here is there's nobody doing a damn thing about it. That the Democrats, those are the folks we need to hold accountable for not doing something about it. No, not criminalizing speech, but returning our public airwaves to the people. That would be a nice start. Here's what Rush Limbaugh had to say. Here is what 15 million Americans heard this morning on the way to work from Rush Limbaugh.
The mother, Eleanor Justy, who's 83, believes that he got his radical ideas from watching Fox News. And that's what's being reported.
Wonder why.
So they are now criminalizing Fox News.
Criminalizing?
Criminalize talk radio.
Criminalize?
What did Fox News do except tell the truth about the health care bill?
Just the truth, Rush. They just told the truth.
In the White House, do you people in the media, do you ever stop to consider...
No.
That you have an intelligent, informed electorate who simply doesn't like being raped.
That's what it is.
And being raped is what is happening to people in this country by their government. No other way to put this.
Stop it for a second. There's no other way to put this. People are being raped. Understand, if you don't do something about it, if you sit there and let people get raped, mind you, because there's no other way to put it. These are the informed people, right? Well, then you're not being very patriotic, are you? You better do something about it. You better call Nancy Pelosi, otherwise you're being raped.
Do you think it's quite possible that people know what's happened here? They know the financial condition of the country. They know this can't be sustained. They know that this government is governing against their will.
Yeah.
They know that 55% of them oppose this, and you expect them not to be mad? You think it takes a Fox News or talk radio to work them up?
No.
They're worked up on their own.
On their
These
own!
These are Americans.
Yes.
They're far more informed of what's going on than most of you in the media are.
Oh, that's what it is. They're just informed all by themselves. They don't listen to you, Rush. They don't listen to Fox News. They don't listen to you telling people that they are being raped. Bill O'Reilly telling them that Nancy Pelosi is Fidel Castro. Maybe we'll play some of those clips later. That he's stealing your money. They just come up with this on their own. Of course they don't. We all know that. We know they don't. I don't care what Rush Limbaugh says. Everybody knows what's going on here. We know who is causing this, who is fomenting this. We know why Democratic congressmen are getting bricks thrown through their windows because they had the temerity to pass health insurance legislation. We know all of that. Now, what are you going to do about it, Democrats? Are you going to change anything here? Or are you going to wait until someone gets shot? Because that sure as hell seems like what's going on. Oh, and they'll do something at that point. And then they'll wonder, oh, how did this happen? How could this have come about? Why didn't we see it coming? Oh, well, we did see it coming. Why did we do anything about it? I don't know, because we were scared. Of course we were scared. Because you folks aren't out there raising hell. You folks aren't out there saying, let's do something about this. Let's restore the media. Let's restore the broadcast, the airwaves to the people who own them. Let's get the FCC to start doing their job, to start making sure that these radio stations are serving in the public's interest. No, not in the Republicans' interests, but in the public interests. Yes, these are our airwaves. Yes, I do call for them to be socialized, because guess what? That's what they are. We own them. They're limited resources, like the national parks, and they ought to be protected. And Democrats who turn tail and run from that fight need to be held accountable for doing so. It's Accountability Thursday here on the Mike Malloy program. Kate Shepard joins us right after this. Brad, in for Malloy. Switching gears.
The temperature's rising, it isn't surprising. She certainly can.
All right, welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Going to be joined by Kate Shepard momentarily. An award winner today. The best business and politics Twitter feed is Kate Shepard. Who gave her this award? Well, it says, if you aren't following Kate Shepard on Twitter, you aren't following green business and politics. I concur. She's going to be with us in a moment. And coming up next hour, Marcy Wheeler of Empty Wheel. And we're going to try to take a lot of your phone calls. So don't call us yet, but get ready to dial at the top of the hour, 877-520-1150. That's the number. Don't use Mike's regular number. 877-520-1150. You got a question about accountability, the DOJ, torture, war crimes, that Iraq video you saw of Apache helicopters gunning down folks just milling about, minding their own business. Yeah. Journalists getting killed, children. Yeah. Next hour. That's the hour for you. Today we got this news item. Glacier National Park has lost two more of its glaciers to climate change. And many of the rest may be gone by the end of the decade, according to Dan Fager, an ecologist with the U.S. Geological Survey. I guess he's one of those fellows who fell for that hoax, those disappearing glacier hoaxes. Where are they hiding those glaciers? It's a hoax. The glaciers, which once numbered as many as 150 in Glacier National Park, have been reduced to 25. Other than that, global warming, complete and utter hoax. Pay no attention. These aren't the droids you're looking for. Man, what a crazy world we live in. Kate Shepard joins us. She covers energy and environmental politics in Mother Jones's Washington Bureau. She was previously the political reporter for Grist.org, a writing fellow at the American Prospect, and as I said in the previous hour, we steal from her liberally on our Green News reports that some of you folks out there may hear Desi Doyen and I doing on a weekly basis. We're delighted that she joins us. Hey, Kate, welcome to the Mike Malloy Program.
Hi, Brad. Thanks for having me today.
Really, thanks for being had. Really appreciate you coming. Okay, I got a lot of stuff I want to talk to you about. I know Desi Doyen is actually in studio with me today. She's probably going to have some questions for you, too. We never have enough time, so let me get right to it. Last week, or week before, whenever there was, Barack Obama announces offshore drilling on all of these new places. Here's my question for you, Kate Shepard. I've been trying to figure it out for the past week. What the hell was he thinking?
Well, I think it's very clear that they see this as a political bargaining tool here, and in addition to maybe thinking that it's an okay idea. I mean, on the campaign trail, he had originally did oppose offshore drilling, but then as gas prices got high last summer, or this is 2 summers ago now, 2008, and the tide started turning around, he said, sure, okay, we can include some drilling in an energy package as long as that's part of a comprehensive package. And, you know, and he also made this concession on nuclear power a few months ago, and he's putting these things out there as compromises, if you will, on energy policy to woo moderate Democrats and Republicans. But, I mean, the real problem is here he's given away these two big things to people who aren't necessarily going to support his comprehensive agenda, and we still have no guarantee that there's going to be the rest of these pieces of the comprehensive agenda in place.
Yeah,
so
and
it's not really clear.
Yeah, and it's not just two things. It's offshore drilling, it's nuclear, and it's clean coal, the mythical clean coal from the unicorn company or whoever it is that produces that. So he's given away all of this. Yeah, I understand it's a political sop, but what's he going to get in return? You have been covering the climate change legislation. Is this part of a backroom deal that only he and Lindsey Graham knows about? I mean, is there any tangible anything that can be demonstrated that he's actually going to get in return for this?
I don't think there is, and I've heard from people on the Hill who are working pretty closely on this debate. It didn't even seem like that the people who are his allies, if you will, the Democrats who are really championing this issue on the Hill, were really well informed either. So it's not clear that he's necessarily wooed over a whole lot of new votes here. And I've also talked to a lot of Republican offices who are just kind of befuddled that he's basically given away his biggest bargaining chips. They're wondering if there's some secret plan here, but they don't really know what it is either. I think the thing to keep in mind is that really the people we're looking at here, it really isn't, it's not Lindsey Graham, and it's probably not even that many Republicans. It's Democrats that they're giving some cover to. So this is, our folks in the Blanche Lincoln, Mark Pryor, Mary Landrieu, a lot of these really pro-oil, pro-drilling Democrats, and saying, okay, here, this is the cover. And then I think it's also, there's this other political dynamic here that we'll have to see how this plays out later this year, but forcing some of these, taking away one of the quills, if you will, for Republicans in the election this year. So, we gave you these things that you've asked for all this time, calling their bluff on it, basically, and asking them to vote against things that they've asked for all these years, which is, probably what's going to happen.
Well, that was kind of one of my working theories that, while it may not get him votes directly, for climate change legislation in the House or the Senate, maybe this is, meant to go to the people. Maybe this is meant to go to the voting public who can look at it and see, even on Fox News, and, oh, well, wait, this guy isn't such the lefty, radical hippie that we thought he was, because now he's in favor of these things. Is that possible, just looking at the 2010 elections? Does that make any sense?
I think that's entirely possible, and I also think we should think about the timing here. I mean, every summer gas prices go up. I mean, in 2008 they went up a lot, and basically it's sort of, I think, in one way fending off the attack from Republicans. Look at these Democrats; they don't even believe in drilling here in America. How can we believe them on a comprehensive energy strategy? So it's taking away that argument, and really, I think appealing to probably a lot of American voters. I mean, I think personally, I think it's probably the wrong thing to do to lie to them, tell them this is going to solve our energy problem. But I could see the possible political incentive here.
All right, and I'm going to get back to cap and trade legislation or whatever it is now in a moment. But I want to play the clip. Tony, do you have the montage, the Don Blankenship montage that I sent you? Did I give you that? No, I didn't. Oh, okay. Not the one you got, but the other. Okay. Well, this looking at this mine disaster, and these guys, Massey Energy, Don Blankenship, the CEO, 3,000 safety violations since 2000 and or since 1995. You know, this is a terrible tragedy, obviously, but none of this is unusual, is it? This is just this sort of corporate control of our government. Do you see anything in the tea leaves ahead, Kate Shepard, that might change this dynamic, that might reinforce, you know, safety and the people's right to minerals and so forth? Or is this just going to be the corporations control everything that happens in Washington, no change ahead?
Well, I'd like to say I'm optimistic. I mean, but when we look, you know, obviously last year the House did pass comprehensive climate and energy legislation, but even that, I think that bill was, first of all, not as aggressive as a lot of people had hoped for, but second of all, it still included major concessions to the same old fossil fuel industry giants that we've been relying upon for years. You know, there's $60 billion in there for so-called clean coal. So, I mean, even when we, the most progressive piece of legislation that's been approved by Congress still cops to these industries, and I don't know that anything we do anytime soon is going to really overhaul that system that we've come to rely upon. I still think the most important thing to focus on in looking at Senate legislation is making sure that there's a tough cap on carbon in there, and then that's tough enough to drive the incentives away from these dirty fuels that we've relied on. But really, we'll have to see.
And that exactly, that seems to be what may be disappearing here. I know that in the Senate, who do we have? Kerry Lieberman and Lindsey Graham. Yeah, oh, this is going to work out well. What could possibly go wrong there? I know they're working on their legislation, and what we're hearing, and you're in D.C. at the Washington Bureau of Mother Jones. Are you hearing that cap and trade is actually perhaps slipping away from the cap and trade legislation? Is it going to be the public option, if you will, of energy legislation, that it just disappears?
Well, I think we're definitely seeing the language cap and trade disappear. Lindsey Graham said this repeatedly, you know, cap and trade is dead, and Kerry said as well, this bill is not going to be an economy-wide cap and trade program.
And I think Ken Salazar, the Interior Secretary, also said that's not a word we use anymore or something?
Right, but I think that's more about language. I mean, the right successfully demonized the phrase cap and trade when we were in the House bill last year, and, you know, in our debates over climate and energy legislation for, you know, almost a decade now, really. It's been demonized. But I think what we're probably going to see in the Senate will still include some version of a cap and trade system. It might be only on utilities. The trading might be more limited, which is actually, you know, that's okay, because I think there are a lot of really real concerns about creating a new commodities market that probably need to be addressed. So limiting the trading component is probably not awful. What we need to see, the other, and then the Senate version is also talking about maybe not including oil refiners under a cap, and instead putting a fee on gasoline and including some different methods for capping carbon emissions. And it's okay to consider other methods. I mean, the important thing is that there's an integrity to that cap and that we are still reaching an overall emissions reduction. And that's the thing to watch here. It's not really about whether the language cap and trade disappears or we use you know, some kind of hybrid method for addressing it. It's that those reductions are going to happen. And that's what I think is going to be the real question. They're expected to roll out their legislation probably the week of Earth Day, which is April 22nd. So we could see that very soon.
And do you, are you confident that something like that will stay in? Never mind, setting aside for a second whether, you know, you can get the House to agree on it. They actually had a pretty good Waxman-Markey bill. Was all things considered, and compared to what we might be looking at in the Senate, that was pretty good. Do you have any confidence that, A, we're going to come out with a bill that actually does make some sort of a significant difference, or is this just going to be a complete sop to the, you know, to the energy, the fossil fuel companies, coal companies, and so forth? And never mind whether it passes. Do you think we're going to get that sort of a bill? And if you don't like making predictions, I understand. But what's the sense you're getting?
No, I think we will see a bill from Kerry Graham and Lieberman here in the next few weeks sometime. And I think it will include a cap on carbon. I think it maybe might not be as aggressive as some had hoped, but it looks like it will include the same broad goals that the House bill included. So that's good. What other pieces are in there and how those play play out with the cap component are really important to watch. So is there a strong renewable electricity standard? Are there strong energy efficiency components? All those things, all these complementary policies are really important to looking at how strong a bill is. So I think it'll be important to keep an eye on that. But I think the other important thing to think about right now is just the timing. If they get this bill out here in the next few weeks, it takes about 5 to 6 weeks for the EPA to evaluate, and you know, by then we're getting into, you know, into almost June, and basically not a lot happens in Washington after June, so they're really up against the time clock here. And there's a dynamic playing out at the same time where Jeff Bingaman from New Mexico, who is the chair of the Energy and Natural Resources Committee, has his own bill. It's an energy-only bill, if you will. It's got an RES, but it has a lot of incentives for nuclear and offshore and a lot of things that aren't super that environmentalists aren't super enthusiastic about, but it also doesn't have a cap. And Bingaman's really leaning on leadership to move his bill forward because, you know, there are a lot of Democrats who don't want to leave this year and not have accomplished anything on energy. So,
well, you sound a lot more bullish than I am, frankly, and you don't sound all that bullish. But we're speaking with Mother Jones is Kate Shepard, who's out from her who's in her the D.C. bureau for Mother Jones. We're going to get some more questions for her right after this quick break and find out why it is that Republicans didn't seem to mind cap and trade back when Republicans were doing it, but something's changed. Brad Friedman in for Malloy with Kate Shepard, and Desi Doyen is also with us. She'll be with us after this break. You're listening to the Mike Malloy Program. I'm Brad. We'll be right back. Hot. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. We're speaking with Kate Shepard, who covers energy and environmental politics for Mother Jones out of their Washington bureau. And there we go. Got the phone. I'm learning how this phone thing works. And we're talking about the future of this, it was once called sort of kind of cap-and-trade legislation, now climate change legislation, now climate legislation, now maybe just energy legislation. Kate, cap-and-trade was sort of the, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but it was sort of the right-wing answer to a carbon tax. This was supposed to be the conservative thing that the Republicans were supposed to go along with, and in fact they did go along with it in the past for previous cap-and-trade legislation. For other types of greenhouse gases and so forth, Republicans liked it. What changed here?
They came up with the deal with acid rain, right? Sulfur dioxide pollution.
Yeah.
It was the business-friendly approach. It made it easier on companies because they could choose how they were going to go about reducing their emissions. Basically, they could buy credits. They could trade with other companies. You know, it was the business-friendly approach. I mean, what happened is that was the 90s, and that was a kind of a different era ago. And, you know, a lot of things have happened since then, and right now, basically, Republicans are not in power. And
so it's just all politics.
They're attacking every part of the agenda.
It's just politics, then. Their assault on cap and trade.
Well, I mean, I think there's a large part of this politics, but you know, looking at this issue, I think there's a lot more of a climate change denial, anti-science bent going through the Republican Party now than maybe we saw in the early 90s. I mean, it's hard to remember now, but I mean, H.W. Bush was a lot more of a environmentalist compared to his son. So I think there's been a lot of changes in the party, just in the approach to the science in general. So.
Hey, Kate, this is Desi Doyen. Talked with you earlier. Wanted to switch gears for a second and ask you, you know, we get a lot of emails from people who are dedicated climate change skeptics and deniers, and you're such a well-known environmental journalist. Are you getting a higher volume of threatening emails? We see a lot of reporters talking about this now.
I don't actually tend to get threatening emails, which maybe I'll start getting them now. I mean, I've definitely seen an uptick in skeptic commenters, if you will, or you know, people who on anything where I write about science or policy that you know are repeating the same old tired tropes about climate change denial. So I definitely have seen an uptick there in the months since the so-called climate email scandal and other blatant attacks on science that we've seen.
But so far, so good. You're not getting a whole lot then.
You're not doing your job, obviously, Kate. Get to work.
I'm not making people upset enough.
No, you're not. Go ahead.
I have time for one more question.
Yeah, quickly.
Okay, really quick. There's also that move in the Senate to block the EPA from enforcing emissions regulations, new emissions regulations. Can you talk real quick about that and if that might affect any larger comprehensive climate legislation?
Well, so there are efforts underway in both the House and the Senate that would essentially seek to block the Environmental Protection Agency from declaring or from actually you know, rendering the scientific finding that greenhouse gases are in fact a threat to human health and well-being because they warm the planet. Louisa Murkowski, the Republican senator from Alaska, is leading that effort in the Senate, but in the House we also have a few. There's actually a bipartisan bill from Colin Peterson and Ike Skelton and Joanne Emerson in the House that would do the same thing as well.
Oh, shoot. We're about to run out of time. So real quick, do you think it'll affect the legislation that we have?
I actually, if anything, it could possibly help. It's a real threat to EPA regulation, but if anything, it does to build momentum to pass a new law that could be helpful.
Kate Shepard from Mother Jones, Energy and Environmental Politics, a must read. Thanks for everything. We'll try to get more time with you next time, Kate. Much appreciated.
Great. Thanks for having me.
All right. You're listening to the Mike Malloy Program. Thank you, Des. Good job. We're back with Marcy Wheeler after this. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative citizen, journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, doing all of the above here tonight as once again the sun sets on the West Coast from beautiful downtown Burbank. And it is beautiful out here. For you folks out on the East Coast who are having some warming out there, pay no attention. That's just Al Gore up to his old tricks again. We're in the next hour. We're going to have Marcy Wheeler from Empty Wheel is going to be with us here shortly. In the next hour, we're going to take your calls on any damn thing you want to talk about. Probably, maybe, if I'm in the mood. We like to call it Ask Brad. You ask a question and I answer it or I don't. This hour, we will also take your questions for Marcy Wheeler. We're going to be talking about all the things that she covers over there at Empty Wheel, firedoglake.emptywheel.com. You can reach us and get through. Get in line now, 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. If you have a question about a question for Marcy Wheeler on accountability, the DOJ, John Woo, Jay Bybee, torture, all of those guys. Of course, they're all in jail now, so there's nothing to worry about. Everything is, oh, what? They're, huh? What? They're not in jail? I thought hope. Change? What? I'm confused now. I'm so confused I hit the wrong button on the phone. I do that all the time. All right. Well, we're welcoming. Don't laugh at me, Tony. I'm just the fill-in guy. got me out from behind my computer to do this stuff. I don't know anything about this radio, these telephones, these fancy... Marcy Wheeler joins us. She is, of course, the master accountability blogger, as I like to call her, at Empty Wheel, firedoglake.emptywheel.com. She's also the author of Anatomy of Deceit, How the Bush Administration Used the Media, yes, used the media to sell the Iraq War and out a spy. Hey, Marcy, welcome back to the Mike Malloy program.
Hey, Brad, I like that. Accountability blogger. Can I steal that?
Please do. Yes. That's who you are. It's pretty much, I think it's just you and Greenwald. That's it. That's the whole accountability blogosphere these days, I'm sorry to say.
Well, I don't know. You get some credit for finally holding New York Times accountable for their pimp problems.
Yeah, their pimp problems. Yeah. Well, you know, did I hold them accountable? And here's why I asked this question, because it sort of leads me into where I was going here. What the hell are we doing? You, Marcy Wheeler, me, Glenn Greenwald, these other people, and there's really not a lot of us in the blogosphere that are trying to hold folks accountable, trying to tell the truth, trying to put this information out there, these, you know, indisputable, demonstrable facts. We put them out there, but that's not accountability in truth. I mean, nobody's been fired at the New York Times for lying, covering up about this pimp, acorn pimp hoax for so many months at the DOJ. You know, Jay Bybee, he's still a judge. John Yoo is out making appearances. He's a professor out in Berkeley. That ain't accountability. There is no accountability anymore, Marcy.
Oh, now you got me all depressed.
Sorry. Yeah, that's it. Well, I'm serious. It is depressing because I'm doing Malloy's show this week and I'm thinking, okay, what are we going to talk about? And I'm looking at all of these things, all of these facts, all of these things that we know, that we've shown, that we've proven, and what ultimately has come of them, Marcy. Now you're depressed, but go ahead and answer the question anyway.
Well, you know, you did win a teeny tiny victory in training New York Times to stop propagating the myth that James O'Keefe actually dressed as a pimp when he went in and tried to frame Acorn. So that's a small victory.
Yeah.
On torture, I don't know. I can't really help you there.
Well, because, yeah, it's not going to stop the New York Times from doing that same thing again. It's not going to stop anybody from torturing again, no matter what we know. And, you know, Barack Obama, one of the stories that you've been, I know, covering this week, he's fine to go out and order assassinations on American citizens. So we can call these people out, but where's the accountability?
I mean, I don't know. I guess I just don't stop, which is kind of crazy. But nor do you. I mean, it took you how long to get the New York Times to finally come around, and how many attorneys general to endorse your point of view and your facts rather than the New York Times claims that they had the truth. And I, you know, all I can do is do unpack as many details, unpack as much of a counter narrative as possible, and hope that at some point people, you know, you raised this targeting an American citizen. We should take a step back and talk about what that story is. So there's this guy Anwar al-Awlaki, who is he is definitely an extremist imam. He's a Muslim imam,
uh-huh.
And he has been, and he's been known to them going back since 2001. I mean, he had communications at least with a couple of the hijackers from 9/11, but they never were able to put together a criminal case against him. They tried once. They had to let him go. He left the country. But we do know because he had ties to Nid al-Hassan, who's the guy who went crazy, not crazy. He went violent down at Fort Hood
shot
shot a bunch of servicemen and women, Hassan had contacts with al-Awlaki.
Right.
And because of the reporting that talked about the contacts that Hassan had with him, we know that he was being wiretapped by the government. We know, and, you know, we have every reason to believe it was a legal FISA wiretap. It should have been, because that's the kind of person we actually want to wiretap.
Right.
But in spite of the fact that we were wiretapping his communications going back at least a year and a half, we still had no reason to indict him, as far as we know.
Okay.
And then in October, and this is a weird little story that David Ignatius kind of scooped under the radar a while back. He's in Yemen. This cleric is in Yemen. Yemen asked us to collect information on him, by which they meant capture him, by which they meant possibly kill him. So they actually requested we do this even before, I think even before the Hassan shooting. We didn't do it. We discovered the ties to Hassan, which, when they were analyzed in real time, weren't considered operable. But what the real issue was, I think, on that was the DOD wasn't acting on what was in his personnel file. I mean, there was clear evidence against him in his personnel file, but they,
but
for whatever reason,
Yemen wasn't asking us to assassinate him, were they?
It's not clear. No, I mean, it's very interesting because the language that Ignatius uses, and of course he's as wired into his to intelligence as you get, was first they wanted us to collect information on him to help shut him down. But then his language very quickly kind of leaked into, oh, and capture, and then we couldn't do it because that might involve killing him. So they did kind of ask us to go after and collect him, and if we happen to kill him in the process, you know, so be it.
Okay, well, they can ask us whatever they want, but I thought we didn't, A, assassinate anybody, at least officially, and B, certainly not American citizens, as this Al-Awlaki still is, as I understand it, correct?
Yes, he was born in New Mexico, so yes, he's an American citizen. So, and we said no. And to David Ignatius's credit, he said, yeah, we were right. We had no reason to target him back then. And then what happened is we did a strike in Yemen in December and missed. We thought we had gotten him, and we missed. And this is – I kind of suspect there's a couple of strikes we've done against the people sitting next to American citizens, and I kind of suspect that's what this was, that, you know, oh, look, he's sitting next to a guy with a long beard. Let's send in some predator drones. And, oh, my gosh.
Let's hit the guy with the long beard, and, gosh, we hope it doesn't hit that American citizen next to him.
Well, anyway, we missed. but then when they captured the underwear bomber.
Yeah.
Marfouk Abdulmutallab in at Christmas.
Right.
One of the first things he said was that the cleric had some role in his operation. It's not entirely clear what that is.
Right.
But based on that, that seemed to hit the bar where all of a sudden it was okay to target a U.S. citizen, and now he's on both. There are apparently, this is the thing, there are apparently two lists. There's a CIA list and a special ops list, and both of them apparently have a list that may or may not include more than one American citizen, and they can capture and or, if they happen to kill them, kill these people, and the cleric is now on both of those lists as of recently.
And has this been made legal now? We're okay with this?
Are we okay with it? No, we're not okay with it. And I'm hoping, I mean, that's where I was.
But it's legal, right, Marcy?
The president, the democratically elected constitutional lawyer president, Barack Obama,
right,
seems to believe that he has given approval to assassinate an American citizen without due process of the courts. Now, is that legal? We were talking about that on my blog today, is who has standing to challenge it? Because he's actually got family. It's like, and they've spoken out since he was targeted. And could they go to court and get kind of a rush job? You can't actually kill an American citizen without due process up to Anthony Kennedy. And what would Anthony Kennedy have to say about it? I mean, that's really where we're at with this.
All right. Well, we're going to talk more about that straight ahead and take your calls. 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150. You know, you Democrats and liberals and progressives out there were pretty ticked off when you heard that Dick Cheney had an assassination list. Now, is it okay? I would argue it ain't. But there doesn't seem to be much outrage about it, other than from folks like Marcy Wheeler, Glenn Greenwald. We are speaking with Marcy Wheeler of EmptyWheel.com. A lot more accountability coming up straight ahead. Plus, your calls at 877-520-1150 and your tweets. You can tweet me at TheBradBlog. Oh, brother. All right. We'll be right back right after this. Welcome back to the Molloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike, joined by the master accountability blogger, Marcy Wheeler of Empty Wheel. If you don't know her work, you ought to familiarize yourself with it over at firedoglake.emptywheel.com. She is doing what the corporate media, frankly, ain't doing, what they need to be doing, what they should be doing. What if they had been doing, we wouldn't be in the soup we're in right now had they been doing their job so many years ago. And we're taking your calls here momentarily. Get in line, 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. I gotta tell you, Marcy, it just seems like we have lowered the bar. And this was something that I was yelling and screaming about. I suspect you were too, back in the Bush administration, that if there is not accountability for what George Bush was doing at the time, then the bar would be forever lowered, that you would have the next president, whether it was a Republican or a Democrat. In this case, it's a Democrat. And, you know, hey, assassination, that just happens. We order assassination. It's completely legal. Nothing to see here. Everything's fine. Well, it's not fine. It's not fine when a Democrat does it. And for these Democrats who are sitting around saying, oh, well, you know, we trust Barack Obama. He's not going to be a bad guy. Well, guess what? Obama's not going to be there forever. It is going to be another Dick Cheney. It could be Liz Cheney, for all I know. And isn't this what happens when we don't demand accountability?
Well, and the other thing, Brad, which is really important, is that what's happening is there's been no effective pushback. And in fact, I'd say there's been the reverse there, but there's been no effective pushback against this gigantic power grab for the presidency under, really, be honest, Dick Cheney.
Right.
And so, you know, Obama can kind of raise the bar just a little and say, oh, in addition to torture and warrantless wiretapping and all that, we'll also throw in assassination of American citizens. And, you know, we're just the frogs in the boiling water, and we don't notice that the president has just chipped away at another fundamental right that we have guarded for our entire history as a country. And so that's, you know, that's what really concerns me. And I've been digging through what's called the OPR report, which is an attempt, albeit kind of half effort.
Just so people know, the Department of Justice's Office of Professional Responsibility report. Go ahead.
And it was meant to be a study of whether or not John Yoo wrote historically laughably bad opinions when he authorized torture. And the end result of the report, the headline that the news reported was that, oh, my gosh, it was incompetent, but not incompetent enough that we're going to move to disbar this guy. And I've been buried in that for a long time. But what's really clear to me is that, you know, it wasn't one of the problems with the entire effort in OPR was to go after John Yoo and to a lesser degree Jay Bybee in isolation, and to a still lesser degree Stephen Bradbury, and there was no way for them to connect the dots. And unless you point to David Addington's role in telling John Yoo, you know, we need to order up, get out of get-out-of-jail-free card for anybody who's tortured pursuant to orders given by George Bush or maybe his White House counsel, Alberto Gonzalez, until you can draw that picture, you're falling short of really drawing the picture of how this bureaucracy and is working really to turn the president into a completely unconstitutional position.
That's what it's become. Let's talk about that after the break, plus your calls here with Marcy Wheeler of Empty Wheel. Your calls at 877-520-1150. Straight ahead, I'm Brad, in for Mike Malloy.
You're going to love this. Just love it.
My theme song. Thank you, Tony.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight. I got the feeling that something ain't right.
No, it ain't.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair.
I am not scared
and
at all.
I'm wondering how I get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me. Jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Yes, here I am.
Yes, I'm stuck in the middle with you.
Stuck in the middle with you. No place
and
I would rather be here on the Mike Malloy program. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com calling together the bloggers, being the media, because we are the media. Yes, Marcy Wheeler of Empty Wheel joins us. We're talking accountability as if there is such a thing anymore in this country. And we're going to be taking your calls momentarily. Got a lot of them lined up, so hang on those lines. 877-520-1150, Cambridge Knitter over in the chat room at bradblog.com. We hope you'll jump in on over there. Says, I keep wondering when the Republicans are going to get around to that law and order stuff they keep harping on. Oh, you were serious. No, since when are they harping on? I don't believe they've harped on that whole law and order thing since something like, what was it, 1998, the last time they were faking their belief in law and order, Marcy Wheeler, the Clinton impeachment?
Well, now they've replaced it with tough on terrorism. But only certain kinds of terrorism, not white terrorists, you know, just brown terrorists somewhere on the other side of the world.
Speaking of which, as I understand it, you, Marcy Wheeler, up there in Michigan, you're just a few miles away from the Hutari, aren't you?
Well, I'm about 40 miles away from where the bust was, but the big FBI to-do was working out of Ann Arbor, which if that wasn't going to make the right-wing militia go crazy to be kind of focused on by the FBI out of People's Republic of Ann Arbor, like the one bastion of liberalism in Michigan, then they were already going to go crazy. Yeah, no, that's close to me. And then on the other side, about 30 miles away in Dearborn, we just got I don't know if you've seen this, there was an African-American imam who was shot down in apparent cold blood last year sometime with a dog, and his face was scratched up, and the autopsy report on that has just been released. And so it's an interesting place to be, because on the one side you've got the Christian militias about 40 miles away, on the other side you've got this really heavy-handed busted arrest or blown up arrest of an imam who was alleged to be involved in some financial crimes, but no terrorism whatsoever. And then Ann Arbor quietly in between.
Marcy, you're not far from these guys. Why don't you take a video camera out there? Go talk to them.
Well, you know who else is in our neighborhood? Last I checked, the underwear bomber was still being held in Michigan. So we got everything right here in Michigan. And no jobs, but we've got all the terror.
But plenty of terror. Wonder if those things go together. Let's hit a few calls. Hussein in Minneapolis, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, thank you for accepting my call.
Yes.
You know, when the President of the United States can decide who to be eliminated in a stroke of a pen, without due process, for the mere fact of saying so, that someone is guilty of being a threat to our safety, I think we are in deep, deep, deep trouble. I really, really think this country is headed in a wrong direction. But the thing that really equally surprises me is that I don't see any outcry from the public, especially the liberals, those of us who elected this man to the office, who thought that he was going to bring some change to the madness that was going on in the last 8 years. I am utterly disappointed with this man in every action he took. So thanks. I'm wondering, why isn't there any outcry from the people and say, wait a minute, what is going on here? I mean, I know this decision was recent, in the recent past, but I mean, this man has taken so many different outrageous actions. Yeah, go ahead.
Let me I'll get Marcy's thoughts on that. Thanks for the call, Hussein.
It was recent, but it wasn't actually all that recent. And to her credit, the first person who talked about this kill list for citizens was Dana Priest, the Washington Post, who tends to break these kinds of stories. But I just looked at when I posted on her story, and that was January 26th. And she made it very clear that, even then, that there was a special ops list and a CIA list. And the big question then and until just recently was whether or not he was on the CIA list. But there's always been, there's never been a question, as far as I can tell, that he was already on the special ops list. And if you recall from some of the reporting that Cy Hirsch has done, that's where Cheney hid the really bad stuff. I mean, that's where the assassination squad first is.
But his question, which I think, I'd love to hear your thought, is where's the outcry? Why aren't the Democrats jumping up and down anymore?
Why isn't anybody? I mean, why aren't the Republicans? I agree that I know a bunch of people who just recently, now that Al-Awlaki is on the CIA list, they're going, this really sickens me. But I'm not sure liberals really have they have left themselves the space necessarily to go, whoa, this is unacceptable. But I'm also wondering where the Republicans are. I mean, they're running around at their tea parties going, Barack Obama is the Antichrist, yet they seem to have no problem with the Antichrist, as they see it, targeting U.S. citizens without what we would think of as due process. So, I think both sides ought to be up in arms about this, and I'm not hearing it from anybody.
Well, they're not, and I'm going to throw out my two cents of why I think that is. I think, and certainly there's, some of it has to do with, he's our guy. He's Obama. We voted him in, so we'll go easier on him. I think more of it has to do with nobody knows. Nobody knows. We read these things, but it ain't on Fox News. It ain't on CNN. It ain't even on MSNBC. There's no outrage from either the left or the right, I would say, once again. And I keep arguing. I know I'm a broken record here, but it comes back to the media. The media is not telling us about these things. And so I don't think there is outrage because I don't think people know. Am I off base?
Want to credit the media. I mean, like I said, Dana Priest broke this. David Ignatius, who's as, Beltway special as they come, had a story on it.
Was it on the nightly news, Marcy?
No. And that's what I'm going to say is a lot of it is the difference between TV and print, and print is in big trouble. So even really good reporters like Dana Priest can break a story about American citizens being targeted and everyone yawns and goes back to Tiger.
Yeah. 877-520-1150. Give us a shout. 877-520-1150. Kathy from Madison, Wisconsin joins us. Welcome to the Mike Malloy program, Kathy.
Hi. Thank you.
Thank you. What's on your mind?
Okay. What I'd like to say in terms of accountability, and this is a longstanding thing, I actually used to be someone who was a member of the press. And so I guess I'm more alert to watching things. And to me, ever since the drumbeat to the first Gulf War, and then even more so to the second Gulf War, CNN to me is the most dangerous media that we have in this country because they pretend to tell the truth. The only thing is they only tell a half-truth. And they avoid telling anything that would put the right wing, especially anything to having to do with the Bush administration, even Karl Rove, even Dick Cheney, they don't tell the things that would put that group in a bad light. They tell things, but they don't tell the whole truth. It's kind of like, and I don't mean to draw this analysis or comparison, but it's kind of like when Jesus said, we are held accountable not just for the sins that we commit, but the sins of omission.
All right, let me get Marcy's thoughts on that. I did read someone yesterday, a day or two ago, it might have been Greenwald, I can't remember, but who said that CNN is the reason that they're failing is because they decide there's a right and a left, and let's say Republicans are 2 and Democrats are 6, therefore the truth is 4. That's it. The truth is 4.
Marcy, can I tell you?
Hang on, let me get Marcy's right. Thoughts. We'll come back. Marcy? Yeah. Any thought?
No, I mean, I think you're right as to CNN being kind of that squishy middle, which has abdicated any desire to actually decide what's a fact and what's not. But I would also add that I think one of the problems is the whole notion of Beltway comedy. I mean, the people covering the people you mentioned, Rove and Bush and Cheney, all live within, you know, 5, 10, 50 miles of them, all go to the same cocktail parties, all, you know, many of them have worked in and out of government. And I think it makes it, I think it's increasingly difficult for people who live in that situation to really hit hard. You know, Brad and I both live outside of the Beltway, and I think it makes it a lot easier to aggressively report, and so does Glenn, for that matter, to aggressively report because we're not hanging out in these social circles.
Kathy, do you have a thought?
Do you mind if I have an opinion contrary to that?
No, but give it quickly.
Okay. I think that is not the way it's done at CNN. I think it is an insidious, deliberate way of presenting news to hide all the negative truths and still look like you're presenting truth. And I've seen it over and over. I wish I had the ability to write a book about it because then you could point out the examples.
You do have that ability.
I got to get
to a break here, Kathy.
Thanks for listening.
You bet. Thanks for the call.
Okay.
You do have that ability to write that book. Just go write it. That's what Marcy did. Marcy, I hear all the time, and I got to get to a break here momentarily, but I hear all the time people asserting that, you know, it's not a failure by the New York Times. It's not a failure by CNN that they are deliberately doing this. Exactly what Kathy said. I have my thoughts on that, but what are yours?
Well, I think she's right that I mean, that's what they're aspiring to is this middle which doesn't offend anybody. They don't want to offend donors. I mean, they don't want to offend big corporate sponsors. They don't want to offend their sources. They don't want to offend the people they go to parties with.
But she's saying it's more nefarious than that, that it's a purposeful, you know, insidiousness as far as hiding the truth.
Well, no, I mean, I do think that's one and the same. I mean, it's the reason why it happens so consistently is because for the people inside, it feels like good social manners. To the editors, I think it feels like a much more concerted effort to make sure they stay in good graces with the people who regulate them.
We're talking with Marcy Wheeler of Fire Dog Lake. We're going to take more of your questions straight ahead. 877-520-1150. We got just one more segment with Marcy, and then we'll open the phones to whatever the hell you want to talk about and whatever the hell I want to talk about. 877-520-1150. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy with accountability blogger Marcy Wheeler of Empty Wheel. Much more straight ahead. Stick with us. We'll be right back. I know I'm supposed to start, but it's Joe Cocker, and I'm kind of enjoying it, and I... Okay. All right, welcome back to the Molloy Show. Brad in for Mike Molloy. You see, I'm just kind of digging it. Talking with Marcy Wheeler of Empty Wheel, wondering where the accountability went. We are taking your calls at 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. All right, we're going to try to get to as many calls as I can here for you, Marcy, but... I don't even know how to ask these questions anymore. John, you and Jay Bybee, why aren't they in jail? The guys who wrote these torture memos. Are you there, Mars?
Yeah, no, I don't have an answer for you. Yeah. I mean, okay. bigger question is why is Bybee? And you know, one of the things that's come out in the last several weeks is this footnote that Jay Bybee wrote with his attorney trying to get off on writing these memos. And he basically excused the killing of a detainee in Afghanistan in 2002. And he said, well, you know, what happened to the detainee was he was watered down and left in freezing temperatures overnight. And guess what? He froze to death. And Jay Bybee, who's, as I remind you, an appeals court judge out there in the West, said, well, you know, it was right that he wasn't prosecuted because the guy who watered him down and left him overnight had no intent of having him freeze to death, and therefore he shouldn't be prosecuted for having a guy freeze to death under his control. That's who we have running the courts.
Yeah, and this guy has a lifetime appointment in the which circuit is he in? Federal court,
Ninth Circuit,
right?
California, yeah. So
unbelievable. Yeah. Well, we just keep pressing on and hoping at some point someone gives a damn, someone pays attention, some kind of sanity is returned to this world. Let's go to Rachel in Albuquerque. Welcome to the Molloy program. I'm Brad. You have a question for Marcy?
Yes, I do.
Right.
Pardon me. I have one question and a couple of comments. First of all, the question, under what law can the President of the United States order assassinations of American citizens at will?
Marcy?
Boy, I wish I could tell you that, but... this is presumably part of his command. I mean, he is claiming it's part of his commander-in-chief role to fight the war on terror, but it's, you know, I have not seen anybody give a credible explanation for what the legal basis for it is because they're you know.
Theoretically, if this was under Bush, I guess he would say that he was given the permission to go to war after 9/11, and anything he wants to do within that is legal. Is that the where this comes from?
That plus, since this is covert ops, you know, the president can say, well, I'm going to issue a presidential finding which says we can do X, Y, and Z, even though it's not legal, and that's how things work. But, you know, they've pushed these covert powers to such an extent that, you know, all of a sudden we're assassinating U.S. citizens.
Rachel, another thought. We got to get to another call here. You got a last thought?
Okay. I just have a couple of comments. The man from Minnesota was asking about a public outcry, why there was none.
Yeah.
I think it's because of two reasons. One, when Nancy Pelosi had announced that she would attempt to make George Bush accountable. And then when they came back and asked her, it was on C-SPAN. I saw it. I taped the whole thing.
She was just kidding about that.
Yeah, she said she was. That was really mind-blowing. And another thing, as far as 9/11, we have only seen a $2 video, if that much, of Bin Laden, you know, and all these statements he's supposed to have made.
I hear you, Rachel.
War,
I gotta get,
you know, and murdered a million people on a $2 video. That doesn't make sense.
I hear you, Rachel. I gotta get to another call, and thanks. I appreciate the call. Of course, all the 9/11 people are gonna think I cut her off, but I didn't because I need to get to a hard break here. Let me get Gerhard. Can you ask your question in 15 seconds?
Any Islamo-fascist anywhere on the planet is an enemy of the human race and needs to be killed. And I don't care if they're an American citizen or not. Perhaps if the Shah of Iran had killed Khomeini when he was still living in Paris.
Thanks, Gerhard. We're glad to know that you get to decide who dies and who doesn't. Marcy Wheeler, that's a nice way to end, isn't it?
Chilling, actually. I'm not sure what that term Islamo-fascist means. I know that Islam is by and large a religion of peace, just like Christianity. I'm not a member of either one of them, and I hope that doesn't make me a target for crazy people who think they get to decide who dies and who doesn't.
Thanks for holding their feet to the fire and always being there when I call you, Marcy. Appreciate it. Marcy Wheeler of FireDogLake.EmptyWheel.com. Keep rocking in the free world, Marcy.
Thanks a bunch, Brad.
All right. Much more right after this. Final hour tonight of the Mike Malloy program. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Yeah, it's spring break. So they called in the substitute guy. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. Friendly citizen investigative journalist. Friendly citizen investigative journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker. Drafted into broadcast media duty right here. On your favorite progressive radio station website from coast to coast and around the globe. This, we'll call this the Ask Brad Hour. Ask me any damn thing you want, and I will answer it, or I will not. You can get us at 877-520-1150. I got a bunch of folks hanging on the line. Hang in there. I will get to you shortly. 877-520-1150. Or you can stop, or you can Twitter me your question to The Brad Blog, or you can stop by bradblog.com, jump into the chat room where Jeannie Dean and Dez are holding down things very nicely, but they're lonely and they'd love to see you there. Other business I have to take care of here before we get to the phones. So Malloy is coming back next Monday. For those who are concerned, never fear. He'll be back with Malloy Vision. Yes, Malloy Vision. You truth seekers know what that is. You folks out there at DU, you know what that is, right? Well, come on back to MikeMalloy.com next Monday and find out if and you don't. What other business? So tomorrow night on this program, we have we've invited Rand Paul to join us. Who? What? What? Tony, you know who Rand Paul is? You know who Ron Paul is? Rand Paul is Ron Paul's son. And he's running for the U.S. Senate. He's actually running for the GOP nomination in Kentucky against the Secretary of State, Trey Grayson, out there. And I've got a few questions for Dr. Paul. I do hope he accepts our offer. There are concerns about his election out there. If you don't know what they are, stop by Brad Blog. Do a search for Rand Paul or Kentucky election fraud. Ought to be an interesting conversation if he joins us. All right, let me hit some phones here. 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150. And who should we go to here? Let's go to Bob in San Jose. Welcome to the Malloy program.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening.
A couple things I want to thank you. One, for your being, I guess you'd say, a dogged reporter on the electronic voting things that are happening.
Somebody's got to be.
I know, but one of the things I wanted to get to is the net neutrality.
Yeah.
Which I think is absolutely paramount to anything, because otherwise we have the likes of Comcast and AT&T, and they can put up a firewall that makes the Great Firewall of China look like nothing. They can filter content every way but Sunday.
Yeah, and Comcast just this week got a favorable ruling from a federal appeals court on that says that the FCC cannot institute the net neutrality because it's just a policy decision. It doesn't have the force of law. So that's a big victory at this moment for Comcast on that front.
And that's why I'm hoping we've got some legislators who will get off the dime and do something to make net neutrality a law. because I don't know how else you protect it otherwise.
Well, and, you know, I don't either. Obviously, it's got to be protected. And, you know, but I've regarded net neutrality as sort of the low-hanging fruit. Now, maybe I'm naive. I wouldn't, you know, be the first to say that I was naive, but I don't think that's the tough one. I think you're going to get Democrats and Republicans alike. I think you are going to pass net neutrality laws. You need to keep the heat on. That said, Brian, I don't know, Bob, I'm sorry. My concern is that not what's going on the internet. My concern is what's going on our public airwaves and how difficult it is to find shows like Mike Malloy anywhere in the country.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you on that. But the reason why I mentioned in the internet is how do we find out about stuff like this?
About stuff like what?
Well, for example, you.
Yeah.
I mean, I found out about you on the internet. And if somebody had done the serious filtering like they have in China, I wouldn't necessarily have ever seen anything about Bradblog or anything about electronic voting because it would be filtered.
Yep.
That's the point. See, we can have radio, but we need an honest communication medium as well.
I hear you, brother. Thanks for the call, Bob.
Thank you.
All right. Keep up the good fight. Let's go to Bill in North Carolina. How are you, Bill?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm okay. Are you driving in your car or are you in a thunderstorm?
No, I'm just sitting outside on the porch.
Oh, okay. Well, you need to get a better phone. What's up, Bill?
I was curious about all this. It started out with name-calling and graduated to spitting and breaking windows, and now we got death threats going on.
Yeah.
I know there's got to be one or two decent Republicans out there. Why doesn't some of these leaders get on a press conference or something and knock this stuff down? I mean, it's totally ridiculous.
Because do they want to knock it down, Bill?
Obviously not, but you would think that somebody have a little bit of gumption out there.
Well, you would think that. You would have thought that years ago. You would have thought that years ago when these guys used to call for law and order, and then they're sitting here watching, assassinations being ordered and torture and everything else. These guys, and look, you're in North Carolina, so you know these Republicans as well as anybody out there. They don't give a damn about law and order. They're not conservative. They're not, they are right-wingers. They care only about power, period.
I agree.
You agree, right?
Right.
All right.
What really bothers me is the racism thing. I'm an elder gentleman. I'm almost 60 years old. I spent, 1968, I went in the military, and I was retired March 31st, 1998. And I've fought with all kinds of people, and I have a chest full of medals, including two Purple Hearts. And I got news for all those guys out there with these racial slurs and everything is, brother, we all bleed red.
Yep.
And it just annoys the heck out of me.
It annoys the heck out of me, and it's damn dangerous for this country. And as I've said before, someone is going to end up dead, and then things will change. But I'm sorry, and I'm quite concerned that we've got to wait for that to happen before there's any change here, before anybody takes these threats. And they are threats. Quite seriously, maybe we'll play a little bit more audio when we come back from the break here. 877-520-1150. Somebody's got... All right, let's go to Alan real quick before the break. Alan in Alabama. Welcome to the Mike Malloy program, Alan.
Hi.
Hey.
I'm actually just passing through, not from Alabama. My statement is that the violence, I think it's a lot closer than anybody's imagining. I personally have started to experience it face-to-face, about as close to face-to-face as it can be.
How so?
It's like I was in Laredo yesterday, and this guy, he's about 5'10", was walking towards me, and he actually tried to spit in my path.
Why?
And I'm not a small person. I'm like 6'4", 245, and for him to do that, where I could easily just grab him and...
Why was he doing this, Alan? Why was he spitting in your path?
He had on a Texas shirt, a Texas hat, and this guy looked at me like he actually hated the sight of me.
So why did he hate the sight of you? Were you do?
That's
did
what
you,
I'm saying. Yeah. It's gone. It's getting past the regular rhetoric or the regular little things they do. Like if you were to turn your CB on, you would swear we're at a full blown race war. But it's always been confined to the CB talk. A bunch of cowards. now they're seem to be pushing it a little farther, a little farther.
Are you suggesting this was something political, or was the guy just a jerk?
No. This is folks that are at the point where they think they can just walk out and do, not just to call you names, but to physically...
Alan, I understand, but are you suggesting this was a political thing, or this guy was just a jerk?
No. This is across the board. It's like I said, it's starting to happen on a regular basis.
All right.
And it's different individuals, different states. It doesn't matter where you're at now. It's happening at a very high frequency.
All right. Thanks for that call, Alan. I appreciate it. Stay safe out there wherever you are in Alabama. We're going to take a quick break. Come back with much more of your calls. We do have a few open lines, though, if you want to get in. 877-520-1150. It's Accountability Thursday, which, of course, follows Accountability Wednesday, which is just before Accountability Friday, at least when I'm on the Mike Malloy program. It's every day's accountability when old Mike is here. I promise you that. And we will keep up the fight. Do we have a choice? Do I have a choice? No, not if someone's going to put a microphone in front of me. Apparently, Democrats have a choice, though. They've chosen. They don't give a damn about accountability, apparently. It's not important to them. Everything is fine. Low-hanging fruit, we'll take what we can get, cap and trade who needs it, Climategate, well, that ought to get the calls coming in. You want to tell me about Climategate being a hoax? Bring it on, bitches. Brad, here on The Malloy Show.
Would you hold it near as it were your own? It's a hand-me-down. The thoughts are broke.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy program. Brad Friedman in for Mike. Taking your calls, 877-520-1150. Ask Brad. Got a question? Give me a call, 877-520-1150, and I will either answer it or I will not. Let's go to... and by the way, if you're a wingnut and you're in favor of the hate speech, bring it on. I'd love to hear from you. And, okay. Speaking of which, let's go to Brian in Madison, Wisconsin. What's up, Brian? Welcome to the show.
Oh, didn't think I was going to get on. But anyway.
Of course. Why wouldn't you?
Well, things happen.
Okay.
All I can say is President Obama he's playing a political ploy here. And I'm not saying a ploy in a bad way.
What's the ploy?
The ploy is he has got to answer to the political right with Rush and Glenn Beck. And he has got to answer them in a positive way.
Wait, why does he have to answer them in a positive way, Brian?
Well, because if he does nothing, they just keep attacking him.
And if he does do something, they're going to stop attacking him? So you're saying that
Look at what he's done.
Yeah.
Look at what he's done.
What's he done?
He's authorized the assassination of an American citizen.
Yeah.
He's also authorized oil drilling offshore.
Offshore, right.
And why do you think that he's done that?
Well, he's I think he's pretty much running the way he ran, or he's pretty much serving as president the way he ran for president.
He said that before he ran for president.
Well, he was in favor
of.
On. What?
He didn't do that.
Didn't do what?
You don't know that he said that before he ran for president.
I'll tell you what he did before he ran, when he was running for president. He was in favor of giving immunity to the phone companies who had done this illegal spying. He had not called for impeachment. He had not called for accountability. He had called for offshore drilling, for increased nuclear power, for clean coal, quote-unquote, technology. All of these things that I think progressives did not want to hear when he was running. They just wanted to win so much, they were willing to look the other way. Am I wrong, Brian?
No, I don't think you're wrong.
Okay. Well, then we agree.
I totally agree, but...
But you voted for him anyway, didn't you?
Well, of course I did.
Okay.
I love Obama.
All right. Well, then there you go. Then you're happy now. I got to get to another call, Brian. Thanks. I appreciate it. Stay safe out there in Madison. All right. I have time for another one here. Let me get to Al in San Francisco. Hey, Al, welcome to the Mike Malloy program.
Yeah, I agree with you. The Democrats' lack of pushback hurts me, especially the black activists in flunky groups like the NAACP. Governor McDonald omitted slavery in his support of the Confederacy.
Out there in Virginia.
Yes, yeah. And I made a post response to the great website, The Grill. I think that's supported by a large media conglomerate, but it's a very good black-oriented site.
Yeah.
And also, when we had this Walmart incident, for example, a racial animosity, of course, the NAACP, if you note, they jumped in right away to defend Walmart because, of course, they depend on white corporations for their survival.
The NAACP defended Walmart. This is when the guy came on the speaker and said, all black people get out of the store or something like that, right?
Yes, predictably. And you have to excuse me. I had extensive dental surgery, so I'm not at my best talking. But, predictably, the NAACP and groups like that, the Urban League, most people don't want to admit the truth.
Okay.
Those groups get their support from white corporations, so they are not going to take a hard line against racism. They just want inclusiveness, and I disagree with that. Sometimes you can't reason with people.
Okay. No, I don't think you can. I don't think you necessarily have to. I think you need to stand up for what's right, and thank you for calling out the NAACP if they're not doing what's right. And, by the way, I'm wondering where the NAACP and the African American community at large was when Acorn was under attack, and why they aren't out there right now picketing Andy Breitbart and James O'Keefe, the hell with them, picketing New York Times to demand they correct the record.
One last point.
Quickly.
I don't think you and progressives, white progressives, should shy away from stating what you just stated, the lack of response to these issues by black Americans, especially black activists.
Yep. I ain't shying away from anything, Al. I do appreciate your call, and keep up the good fight. We had a caller last night after we had Acorn's CEO, Bertha Lewis, on. We talked about 2 hours about this Acorn stuff, this scam, and somebody called and said we ought to organize picket the New York Times until they correct the record. Yes, sounds good to me. Where are you folks in New York? I don't care what color you are. We need accountability out there from the New York Times. You're going to get it for us. I'm Brad, in for Malloy. More after this.
Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm.
Tony, because I'm enjoying the music. I want to hear the music. If I want to hear it, don't you think the rest of America wants to hear it, Tony? You went to the trouble to choose it. You might as well let people listen. All right, Brad back on the Malloy Show, taking your calls, 877-520-1150. We will hit, we're going to hit a few of them here. Let me play you some of this sound as far as why are people... Well, I mean, this is what, you know... It's not just crazy Republicans. It's people fomenting the Republicans. But as I argued at the opening of this show, we know that's what they're going to do. That's their politics. Why the hell isn't anybody doing anything about it? Why are the Democrats shying away from the fairness doctrine, from restoring our public airwaves? And, you know, this guy was arrested threatening Nancy Pelosi. Rush Limbaugh was saying, oh, it's they want to criminalize Fox News. Well, actually, now that I think about it, it's not a terrible idea. All right, here's Cal Thomas. You wonder why everybody, this was on Fox News. Cal Thomas, just last month.
When Nancy Pelosi went through those Tea Partiers, it was like, what should we analogize this to? The
Nazis?
March through Skokie, Illinois
Nazis.
By the Nazis. It was deliberately provocative. They wanted a reaction.
Yes, they deserved it. She was dressed that way. She deserves to be raped. And, oh, she's a Nazi. Now there's the O'Reilly factor. Just late last year, also on Fox News.
Already, Nancy Pelosi and her far-left crew want to raise the top federal tax rate to 45%. That's not capitalism. That's Fidel Castro stuff. Confiscating wages that people honestly earn.
Fidel Castro stuff. Confiscating wages. They're not taxes. They're coming to steal your money, and they're communists. And if you don't do something about that, Nancy Pelosi, well, then you're not very patriotic, are you? You better do something about it because she's a communist. She's Fidel Castro. She's a Nazi. Here's Beck on Nancy Pelosi.
So, Speaker Pelosi, I just wanted to. You gonna drink your wine?
Oh no, not that one, not that one. This is one that's too long. He wants to poison the wine. The other one, Beck in California, I think.
California has become quite a hotbed for all kinds of radicals, communists, socialists.
Yes.
All in the 1960s, but they were here before progressives. Now eco-terrorists, they're here.
Eco-terrorists.
Yeah, the Panthers formed here.
Panthers? What else?
Nancy Pelosi is here.
Oh.
A lot of really dangerous people in a state as volatile as this one, and it is on the edge.
Oh, I wonder how it got on that edge. And gosh, that Nancy have you seen her? Oh, what a dangerous woman. Terrifying. Nancy Pelosi is dangerous? Of course she is, because Beck says so on Fox News, because O'Reilly says so on Fox News, because Cal Thomas says so on Fox News, because Dennis Miller says so on Fox News.
There's blood in the water on her, and I hope they bring in Cousteau's kid to document it, because this is going to be a beautiful demise. If you thought those eyes twitched in the past, watch her over the next couple of weeks. She's going to look like a hummingbird during time travel. It's going to get ugly. And if you go in with her in the long knives, I would warn you, and you're not a plastic surgeon, you better be ready to play hard, because you will get the speaker's gavel from her when you pry it from her cold, dead hand,
well,
as they say in the trade.
Right. Pry it from her cold, dead hands. That's your only choice here, America. You have to do this. And, of course, Fox News isn't to blame if something happens to Speaker Pelosi, are they? They're not to blame for anything. Bill O'Reilly is not to blame for the fact that Scott Roeder went and put a bullet in Dr. Tiller's head in Kansas just because he called him Tiller the Killer night after night after night after night. He's not accountable for that. Just because someone took him seriously. We know all of this. You know all of this. Why don't the Democrats know all of this? They do know all of this, but they're cowards and they don't want to do anything about it. I do. I'm going to call them out. And more. Let's go to Rodolfo, 877-520-1150. Going to try to get everybody in here. I'll stop ranting, maybe. Rodolfo in San Francisco, welcome to the Malloy program.
Now, some number of months ago, and yes. I don't know where he said it, but Barack Obama said, quote, cap and trade will necessarily make your utility rates skyrocket, unquote. Now, you know, this indicates to me that this is an unnecessary rise that they're planning on.
Why?
And what would they be?
Wait a second, Rodolfo. Let me ask you.
To?
Rodolfo, hang on
who's
a second.
Who's the extra money going to?
The extra
the United
money?
Nations?
Rodolfo, are you going to have a conversation or are you just going to talk over me here? All right. Well, now, Rodolfo, now, were you against cap and trade when George Bush Sr. And John McCain, when they were in favor of cap and trade?
I absolutely was.
You were. But you voted for them anyway?
What makes you think I voted for that?
I'm asking you. Did you?
No.
Who'd you vote for?
I voted for the Libertarian candidate.
All right, that boy. Now, let me ask you this. You say that in the note here, it says that climate change, it's just the end of the ice age. There's no global warming. Is that right?
Well, the point that I was making there is that perhaps there's no real way that you can have a feeling that we're not experiencing anything other than a naturally occurring gradual climate change.
Gradual?
Which has been going on all the time, all throughout history.
Except for the last 50 years where you have, you're familiar with the...
Except for the last 50 years since the United Nations think that they can make themselves into a world government by extorting money on this issue.
Okay, never mind that. The question is,
gap in trade.
You're not going to...
That's where their money is coming from.
Okay. Yeah, I
know. The truth hurts, doesn't it? The truth hurts, doesn't it?
Not really. But, Rudolfo, you've seen the graph, right, where thousands of years it's pretty level, warming, all of a sudden the hockey stick graph, it shoots straight up.
Yeah,
you're saying
that's
fake, right?
That came from the United Nations, too, didn't it?
The same
Joseph, the same Goebbels types that say, well,
Goebbels,
you know, first
types.
Of all, create a problem where there is none, and then come running up with the solution.
And those thousands of scientists,
and
those are also...
Yeah, okay. We all know where each and every one of them are getting their hands in their pockets from.
Hey, baby, there's nothing like the Earth science business, man. You make a lot of money. That's where the money is, baby. You know, you think they may live in obscurity and work out of some little college somewhere. Oh, no. The Earth science disciplines, that's the big money, baby. And that's, of course, why thousands of them have agreed to get together and falsify data. Crazy people. David in San Francisco, welcome to the Mike Malloy program.
Hey, how are you, Brad?
A couple
of different things. I don't know if you realize it, but you got punked by that last caller. He was the final guy in the last hour, and he's a notorious. His sneer, you can recognize his sneer.
I didn't recognize him in the last hour, but that's all right.
Yeah, he was the guy you cut off real fast because
of his
German name. I'll think of it in a second.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, a couple of things you were asking about. I really wanted to talk about Acorn, and if you've got that contact information, she was asking for legal support. And,
yeah. You're talking about Bertha Lewis,
right.
CEO of Acorn. We had her on last night. The contact is info@acorn.org. And last night after we got off the air, their website went down. And I'd love to think it was because so many people were hitting it, trying to give them donations to answer her call. I don't know if that was the case or not, but last I checked, it is now back up. Acorn.org. Support these guys because they have been done wrong, and you can write them at info@acorn.org, particularly if you're a lawyer who wants to do pro bono work. Okay, go ahead, Dave.
Well, there are about three or four different, you know, just their foundation, their charter, so to speak, was essentially based upon helping people who are in housing distress.
Right.
Then they got into the angle of getting people voting.
Right.
And if you think about right now, they're saying that one-third of American mortgages are in distress. One-third of American mortgages are in distress.
Right.
And so not only are we having an enormous number of people who need legal assistance and they're poverty-stricken, but in addition, thinking about the problems of voting, the homeless usually are so downtrodden that they'd never show up to vote. And so that's going to be an enormous aspect of getting out the vote for the next vote this year
and the
presidential 2 years from now. And so Acorn's voting registration efforts are... The idea of attacking Acorn by the neocons is, I mean, you can see where their strategy of destroying legal assistance to people
that they
were going after.
Dave, I got to get to another call. I appreciate your thought. Yeah, the right-wing attack on Acorn was nothing about nothing else other than fighting against democracy, fighting to keep people from being able to vote. Because those people happen to be Democratic-leaning voters, those 1.3 million legal registered voters that Acorn helped get on the rolls over the last couple of election cycles. Let me get, do I have it? Go for it? Yeah, all right, let's go to, Steve in Minnesota. Hey, Steve, welcome to the Mike Malloy program. Very quickly, what's on your mind?
Well, I'm actually calling about last night. you had talked about the United flight that departed from Washington, D.C., and
yes.
then the man was apparently lighting a cigarette.
Yes, yes. Don't even say that. We're scared. Tony, put the duct tape back on the windows. There, you frightened me already just by bringing it up. I'm terrified of all the terrorists. Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
Well, that fits into my question. You explained the story, but then you said, we are such a nation of cowards.
Yeah.
Why?
Why are we cowards?
Yeah. Why would you call us a nation of cowards? There was mysterious activity going on in the plane. How should we have reacted?
We're cowards because we are willing to throw over our rights. We are willing to throw over our Constitution. We are willing to bust our budget and, throw ourselves into bankruptcy for something that you have a better chance of being hit by lightning twice than you do by being on a plane where a terrorist strikes. We've changed the way we live because we're afraid of these terrorists. We will justify anything because of terrorists and terrorism, and we got to stop cowering under the table. We got to stop, anytime anybody farts on a plane, it ends up wall-to-wall on Fox News, CNN, MSNBC. It's breaking news. You know what? When there's really something that goes on that you need to interrupt the news, then do it. Until then, stop being a baby.
Yeah, but you told about the story. I don't understand what the difference between Fox News telling about it or you telling about
because
it.
Because I mentioned it. I didn't go wall-to-wall on it as these guys do, as they did with the Christmas bomber and all the other nonsense. I appreciate your thought.
What should we do different?
What
should we do different? What you say we're cowards. What should we do different? You're talking about airline security and so forth?
I'm going to – let me answer that off the air because I got to get to a break. Not off the air. I'm going to drop you because I got to get to a break here shortly. Thanks for the call, Steve. What we should do here is, stop going to war. Stop making up wars. Stop taking away people's rights. Because that's what we're doing. Stop saying, oh, it's okay. You have to scan every email. You have to listen to every citizen's phone calls if you want, because the terrorists are going to get us if you don't. No. I'm not willing to give up my rights. I'm not willing to be a coward. It's a joke. If you guys don't get it by now, it's a joke. Yeah, there's bad people out there to get us. Let's stop doing things that make them want to get us. Did you see that video in Iraq that was leaked of the guys in the Apache helicopter shooting journalists and children and people who weren't firing on them, weren't doing nothing? Remember, they hate us for our freedoms. Pay attention. Brad, here on The Malloy Show. Back with one more segment right after this. Take a walk on the wild side.
Candy came from out on the island. In the back room, she was everybody's darling. But she never lost her head. Says, hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls go, do 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 do.
Say it's only a paper moon sailing over a cardboard sea. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me.
Yeah, I wanted to hear it again, Tony. Yes, I like that version. Only a canvas. All right, our final few minutes here on the Malloy program. I will be back with you tomorrow. I'm also on, by the way, our friend Tom Hartman's program tomorrow morning. Something, 11 a.m. in the morning, Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time. What? Why are you looking at me like that, Tom? Man, I'm on Hartman. My friend Peter B. Collins is guest hosting. Oh, it's Battle of the Guest Hosts this week, apparently, on Progressive Radio. So tune into that. I will be back with you again tomorrow night. I hope you will join me. I hope Rand Paul joins me and whatever else may happen between now and then. My thanks tonight, if you're on the line, we'll try to get to you very shortly. But my thanks tonight to engineer Tony Sorrentino. Thank you, sir. For LA's K-Talk AM 1150, for hosting me out here in beautiful Burbank. Producer Desi Doyen, Jeannie Dean over at bradblog.com, holding down the chat room tonight. Of course, my thanks, as ever, to Mike and Kathy Malloy for entrusting this microphone to me while they are enjoying spring break. For those listening on mikemalloy.com, please do stay tuned for Head On with Bob Kincaid. I'm sure he'll have the latest out in West Virginia on the mining disaster and the disaster that is Massey Engineering and their CEO, Don Blankenship. What a creep. We'll talk about him tomorrow if I'm in the mood. All right, let's go. I'm going to fly through these lines, so get your calls ready and your questions ready, and we'll have to do them quickly. Mark in San Francisco, welcome to the show.
Hi, Brad.
Hey.
I think there's two things the progressive can push back against the right-wing echo machine, the hate machine, is demand the investigations and prosecutions of Bush, and I also think we ought to raise hell about these wars. We can't afford them. We don't want no tax increases to fund these wars.
Right.
They're ridiculous.
Well, right, but you got to demand it of the Democrats. You got to demand it of the media. You got to get over this obsession with Fox News and the crazy people over there. We know they're crazy. Now let's hold the Democrats and let's hold Barack Obama responsible for not doing the right thing. What do you say?
I think you're right. Absolutely.
Thank you, brother. All right, let's go to Bob, also in San Francisco. Welcome to the Malloy program, Bob.
Hi. Hey. There's one example that I could cite of a Republican or a right-winger, let's say Republican, who did call out his party about 2 months ago on Chris Matthews. Matthews put a question to Jim Cooper from Tennessee, a congressman, and then he put one to Phil Gingrey.
Yeah.
Cooper answered. And the question was, what would you say to these gun toters? Shouldn't they take it back home again and stop parading around Tea Party rallies with guns?
Yeah.
Cooper... He just interrupted. He's a very mild-mannered guy, and he said, yeah, I'll condemn it. And then Gingrey got the question. I guess it was him or maybe DeGarmy, and he went ahead and gave it the whole all clear to those people and said they have their Second Amendment rights, did the whole script.
Well, so you're saying Jim Cooper did hold them accountable or did not?
Yeah, he did.
He did.
It was a good moment.
One of the few. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm still waiting for another one.
Yeah. No, I hear you. You ain't keep waiting. It ain't going to happen. You got to start holding, stop worrying about them and start worrying about the Democrats. They need to get busy. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate the call.
Bye.
All right, let's go. I know I'm going to make it. Barbara and San Rafael, quick. You got 15 seconds. Hey, Barbara.
Oh, yeah, freedom. Good show tonight. Lots of calls from the Bay Area.
Thank you. Yeah, lots of calls out there.
Yeah, I'm just north of San Francisco. But anyway, I just wanted to call and ask you, first of all, if you've heard about this bill that the California legislature is working on right now to make a day of recognition for Ronald Reagan on February 6th.
Okay, yeah, that's what we need. We need to recognize Ronald Reagan on February 6th. Why February 6th?
That's his birthday.
Oh, brother.
And I have the number of the bill. It's SB 944, and they want to make next year's February 6th a specific day.
I got to get out. Don't waste your time on it. Keep your eyes on the stuff that actually matters, Barbara. I love you. Appreciate the call.
Okay, thanks.
All right. All right. Well, thank you, America, and good night. We'll see you tomorrow night. Thanks for everything. Keep it lit.